Lord, teach us what we are to know. Show us what we are to do to be your disciples. Amen. I love makeover shows. I love What Not to Wear, where you're taught exactly what kind of fashion to wear to look your best. I love Flip or Flop, where you see these horrible, ugly, beaten-down houses transformed into beautiful and valuable properties. I love The Biggest Loser, where people who are obese try to find a way to health and losing weight, and they struggle to remake their bodies. I love Gas Monkey Garage, where they'll find an old, beat-up 63 Chevelle and fix it up to a beautiful antique car. I love all the stuff where the car gets fixed and the roof gets fixed and the hairstyle changes and the bodies change. I love the remaking. I love the beauty. I love all of it. And especially, I love a new beginning. The world loves a new beginning. I mean, look at Times Square on New Year's Eve. Hundreds of thousands of people gathering, well, except for this year when there were only 15,000. TV stations running us back through the whole year to show the wonderful people we've lost through the year, all different kinds of folks, the best of times and the worst of times. COVID-19, the loss of so many who contributed. And why do we do this? Well, in part to say, it can get better. We have another shot. Hope. A new beginning. Now, I have to say this to get it out of the way, because otherwise it'll be in your head the whole day. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. However, the Jeremiah we're talking about today was a prophet. And he was a guy who loved a new beginning. And as far as prophet gigs go, Jeremiah got one of the worst. The book of Jeremiah is not exactly a cheery little read. The English language has even made a word, Jeremiah'd, and what does that mean? An excessively woeful bad news message or messenger. And I'm sure that Jeremiah would have liked instead to get Isaiah's message. Every valley will be exalted, all the rough places plain, streams in the desert. He would have rather received Ezekiel's message. Yes, it was the valley of dry bones, okay, but as Ezekiel watched, the bones came to life with muscle and sinew and flesh and breath, life out of death. But Jeremiah, he got to be the prophet of doom and gloom. He berates the people for their litany of sins and bad behavior. And he preaches about divine judgment that is about to assure their destruction. But frankly, Jeremiah had, you know, good reason to be the bearer of bad news. His preaching time spanned around 626 to 584 BCE, chaotic times, was the end of the Assyrian Empire of Judah, but no sooner were they gone when Babylon moved in to destroy whatever was left. Solomon's temple was destroyed, and the last of the heirs to the throne of David was executed. So whatever dreams that little remnant of Israel clung to evaporated with those two signs of God's favor being extinguished. But within a few years, King Josiah began to try to rejuvenate the people of Israel. And around 622, when the text of Deuteronomy was rediscovered, he began a program of religious reform. And so for King Josiah, everything from theology to priestly responsibility to everyday life, all of that was reformed to follow scripture. Now, this is the time when the writing of Jeremiah was done, the writing that we heard today. Chapters 30 to 31, that little piece of Jeremiah, by the way, there's 52 chapters, so this is two chapters. It's known as the Book of Comfort or the Book of Consolations. And scholars think it was written in part, at least, during these times of King Josiah when all of the hopeful signs began to come about. So one way to think about this passage is that it's kind of a sweet center that makes all the rest of Jeremiah's gloomy words take on a different light. So despite all of the destruction and the sin and the damnations and the disobedience, there's hope. And in the midst of these worst of times, Jeremiah gives these exiled Israelites a glimpse of God's promise of a new beginning. And Jeremiah, the depressed and depressing prophet, starts that new beginning. He calls the people to remember the relationship of the blessing of Yahweh and to bring it back into their memory. God says to them, "I am bringing you home." Now, they can't help but remember the departure from home to slavery was brutal and full of destruction, so their return to home is full of hope. The weeping refugees are told that they will return to their home with prayers in their hearts. The blind and the lame shall know their place in the kingdom. Mothers carrying their babies will walk alongside mothers in labor. And it is a time full of promise, a time for noisy tambourines and merry dancing. And all will participate in that homecoming parade. God will lead everyone to new beginning. And Yahweh ultimately does call the children of Israel out of exile and back into the fullness of love. God reverses God's own ways, but always with God's timing, and not before the exiles returning from slavery finally remember what they had forgotten. Then and only then are they ready for a new beginning. It makes me wonder, what have we forgotten? And of course, I think about the pandemic. As the pandemic wound its restless way around the world, what was our reaction? I remember mine. December 2019, a virus is identified in Wuhan province, China. How terrible, I said. I'm sure glad it's China and not here. March 2020, the World Health Organization declares COVID a pandemic and the U.S. begins to shut down. How terrible. It's here, but perhaps it will sweep through like the flu and soon be over. September 2020, more than 1 million people worldwide have died due to COVID-19. And I think this is serious. December 2020, a vaccine is developed and begins to be administered. Thank God, now it can begin to be over. Spring 2021, the U.S. begins to reopen from shutdown. Hooray, we can get back to normal. June 2021, a new variant, Delta, causes infections to increase again. And here my jersey comes out. What are you talking about? November 2021, another wave of infection from the Omicron variant begins. The world is spinning out of control. I am spinning out of control. What did the pandemic reveal to me? What had I forgotten? What had I forgotten over the years before the pandemic? Pre-COVID, I had forgotten that my work did not define me. Pre-COVID, I had forgotten to listen really deeply in the rush to get things done. Pre-COVID, I thought going to church was about worshiping God, confessing sin, gathering strength, and filling up with joy. I had forgotten that it was all about prayer, communicating with my beloved and loving Creator. Like the people of Israel, it appeared that I had been in a foreign land and had forgotten the foundation of my being. My temple had been destroyed, and the king was dead. What does it mean to remember what we had forgotten? Stephen Covey said, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." He was talking about life and goals and work, but beside the catchy corporate poster type saying, it really is true. Once people asked Jesus, "What's the main thing?" And he said, "Love God with everything you've got, and your neighbor as you love yourself." Our new being, beginning, can be found right here. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you don't know where to start, as I usually don't, remember that God's first language is silence. If ever I'm not sure where to begin with something, that's a good place to start. Perhaps that's where hope is to be found in this new year, the year that's spread before us. We know that hope is alive, but our experience tells us we might need to find new ways to find that spark and to fan that flame. Remember, in Jeremiah, that voice of hope only occurred in 2 out of his 52 chapters, and he declares that no condition of heart, mind, or body can detour God's intentions. Neither distance, blindness, lameness, or special circumstances can ever end God's plan to redeem God's children. That was true for the children of Israel, and it's true for us today. Amen.